Welcome to TalentWise, the definitive podcast for CXOs, human resource and learning and development leaders. This show comes to you from thought leaders who talk about human capital development in today's organization. How to engage and empower today's employee to be effective, competitive and relevant. Stay with us for an exciting conversation with our guest and learn how to future-proof your team. I'm your host Shubhanjan, founder of KnowledgeBridge. Our guest today is Rashmi Aryachandar, Head Human Resource and International Mobility, Van der Lande.
The world has seen these kind of disruptions cyclically. Over the history, let's say, we had agriculture going out when industrialization came in. We had, you know, the computer age coming in. And I think right now we're standing on the brink of automation age coming in. So essentially, if I were to look at what's going to be changing in the future, a lot of manual work would be taken over by automation. Let's put it that way. We're looking at everything that is really repetitive and doesn't really need too much of thinking or creativity would be automated, which, by the way, is a good thing to happen. We cannot really stop the change coming in. The world is going to go that way. And the good part about it is when these things are taken care of by, you know, by process and by automation, we would be left with a lot of time to really do what humans were supposed to do. And that's from a thinking perspective. That's from a conceptualizing perspective. That's from an ideating perspective. So essentially, when you say that, you know, or when we say the industry is changing, we're talking about Industry 4.0. Yes, it's changing with all the, AI, machine learning, robotics, virtual reality and all big data and all these kind of things coming in. We've created it for the ease of manual work.
Rashmi is a versatile senior management professional with hands-on experience in enabling senior leadership teams to deliver both technical and non-technical targets. She excels in human relations, talent management, operational excellence and business strategy, and has worked across industries like oil and gas, ITES and engineering, and the government. Now, on to this great episode of TalentWise with Rashmi Aryachandar.
Good morning, Rashmi. Welcome to TalentWise. I'm real excited to have you here and get your views on how the whole work space is getting disrupted. And from your vantage point, where do you see this leading us?
Morning, Subhanjan. Lovely to be here with you. About the topic, really, I think that is a hot topic among most of the, the BU heads, the talent management heads, most of the business guys is what really is going to be, the corporate world looking like in a couple of years. When I say couple of years, a couple of decades, let's put it that way. And I think that's not something that is happening for the first time. The world has seen these kind of disruptions cyclically over over the last couple of over the history, let's say. We had agriculture going out when industrialization came in. We had the computer age coming in. And I think right now we're standing on the brink of automation age coming in. So essentially, if I were to look at what's going to be changing in the future, a lot of manual work would be taken over by automation. Let's put it that way, logically and in a very layman language. We're looking at everything that is really repetitive and doesn't really need too much of thinking or creativity would be automated, which, by the way, is a good thing to happen. I know there's a lot of skepticism and there's a lot of worry or at times even resistance to this, but if we cannot really stop the change coming in, the world is going to go that way. And the good part about it is when these things are taken care of by, by process and by automation, robotics, whatever you may call it, we would be left with a lot of time to really do what humans were supposed to do. And that's from a thinking perspective, that's from a conceptualizing perspective, that's from an ideating perspective, analyzing, those kind of things. So essentially, when we say the industry is changing, we're talking about Industry 4.0. Yes, it's changing with all the, AI, machine learning, robotics, virtual reality and all big data and all these kind of things coming in. We've created it for the ease of manual work. Okay. And that's the next level of industrialization, if you may call it. So essentially everything that can go that way will go. And what we are left with currently and what we are currently in is a transition phase where there will be a little bit of chaos of understanding, hey, is my skill really, going to be worthwhile in the future? Am I really ready to take the step for the jobs that are going to be there and for jobs that will not be there in the future? And if there are more self-aware people, they will say, hey, do I have the real mindset to take on this change and be relevant and be, really current and happening in a futuristic world? I think that's the same thing that organizations and businesses really need to think for themselves. Because, as we've had this discussion a little bit before also, is that good companies can become irrelevant because they didn't stay, modern enough, or they didn't stay updated, or they did not align to what the future was asking or moving towards. And surprisingly, small companies which started as startups became giants just by trying to latch on to the growth and stay relevant and give what was needed to the market and the industry. So that is simply the mantra, probably staying relevant and understanding that part.
So what I hear you say is that a lot of the manual repetitive jobs would go away. There is no debate on that anymore. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. So that's one. The other part is that we are really talking of a agile mindset, agile organization, agile workforce. So what kind of jobs do you see replacing, if I may? And when I say jobs replacing, it may not be that if I am a particular person, I will actually get that new job because I just may not be able to do it. Correct. Right? So I will become irrelevant. Someone else is going to do that new job. What kind of jobs do you see becoming relevant, and what should organizations do to sort of project that 5 years from now, if I am a software company, if I am an automobile company, if I am a manufacturing company, a cement producing company, whatever, this is what I need to look out for, and this is the kind of skill set I need to start hiring for or training for?
Yeah. So I think jobs which, if you're talking about production line, okay, that's mm-hmm. one job that is surely going to, if it is being done manually today, and as much as there would be certain amount of automation, but it's going to be much more mm-hmm. if people move into robotics. Those jobs will be taken over much more by robotics than a job probably in creative marketing or in design thinking or in data analytics. Yeah. Okay, so if you're looking at those jobs, even within segments or within domains of manufacturing, okay, there would be points where human interaction or human decision making would be needed. Mm-hmm. So what we are saying here is that the whole industry or that particular fragment of jobs is not going to go away. It's going to become more intelligent. And that is what humans will need to pick up on.
So explain a bit. So you're saying that the core manufacturing, mm-hmm. and just for the sake of understanding, I'm using this loosely, that if people were sort of tightening nuts in an assembly line, that has now already gone to some form of robotic arms or whatever. So robots are welding your automobile door or what have you. So the lower order jobs will be going into automation. However, the higher order jobs, which is to setting up the robotic assembly line and actually feeding them instructions,
design.
So that will be still remaining with the humans.
Very much. I think it comes to the basic understanding of difference between what a robot can do and cannot do versus what we can make it do and, you know, what we should keep for ourselves. Hmm. Ultimately, as humans, we have created these machines, right?
Hmm.
That's what we will continuously try to make. And that depends on whether it is internal processes. Like, so jobs in finance, data entry jobs, will get much easier if you were to work with blockchain and cryptocurrency and on those kind of so services, basically, or back office services, office services. Those jobs will probably be reduced by a particular percentage. So most of the manual and the low jobs, low skill set jobs could go. But at the same time, there could be a possibility of jobs like, I don't know, I'm talking about that strata of jobs. So a gardener, a very good gardener would still be needed, or a very good hairdresser would still be needed, or I don't know, a masseur could still be needed, because
I get it, but I have a thought which I would like to just bounce off you, that, you know, a lot of these assumptions, and I'll back it up with a couple of examples. Lot of these assumptions are based on our understanding of the capability of robotics or AI as it stands today.
Yeah.
Right? So there are already AI creating artworks which are like masterpieces. Okay?
True.
Now, of course, I mean, you can always debate on the way it is being done and whether it is really, really, can you call it original, can you not call it original, and I mean if a AI is able to sort of emulate Picasso's or Van Gogh's style and creates multiple new images in their style, will it be called as original as if Picasso himself did it? So I mean, those debates are still there, right? But a lot of the things that you said, gardening, I cannot say, but I can pretty much imagine somewhere in Japan, there is a very, very good machine which is giving a very good massage.
Could be. Yeah, of course. I mean, so I can agree that the massage chairs that we already have in Japan, we have even today, they are good, I understand. So maybe that's not a...
I'm just stretching the logic. But I get what you are saying. So from your company perspective, what kind of jobs do you see may become redundant, and what kind of jobs do you see coming up?
So for me, our company is a engineering company. Really, we design, install, and commission solutions for automated material handling systems. Okay, so that's the core business. Now, if I were to look at this business, I think the designs or the components of what the design. If we were to put in the requirements of a particular solution, and the probability of a solution being designed by the machine itself is much high, and we're already doing part of it through our platforms. Okay, so the design part of it in a standard solution surely is going the automation way, but we still need to have specials, because every situation or every customer would have their needs separate. Or there would be certain conditions on the floor which will be different, which then of course needs to be tweaked in the real solution. That is one part. Second part is we also specialize ourselves, and we call ourselves that we add competitive value to the customer through our solutions. And driving that vision would need a lot of engagement with the customer, exploring his business, his or her business, looking at ways and means of how we can translate the needs into what we can provide them as solutions. That part is something that will be needed more and more over a period of time. And it's so the mechanical and the electrical electronic part of things, in terms of how what solution we design, will get automated more and more. The software part of what we do, in terms of how we provide the performance data for the customers, or how we do predictive analysis of that data to derive a benefit for the customer's business, those parts will grow more is what I feel over a period of time. We are as an organization also, and I've seen this in the last just a decade or so within the organization, we've moved from being a more mechanical, focused organization to now we are moving towards a more automated or more, software driven company. And that's where the industry itself of automated material handling systems is moving towards. So you can no longer pride yourself on the quality of the equipment that you give people. You really need to, get relevant by giving them solutions that are more agile, that are more faster, more efficient, more cheaper, more greener is what we are looking at. So coming up with innovative hardware, software and solutions. So innovation would need, to be relevant for the market today. Reducing the size or the footprint of what we give. Initially, our machines probably were much more bigger compared to what we can deliver now. So, we have more sleeker products, which we give more faster, more, instead of like a whole big thing, you make it into small components and you deliver that as a solution. So the way we do the strategy around that, so strategists, marketing, sales, product development, software guys, data analysts, innovation, R&D, these are the things that will probably be needing a lot more focus and a lot more investment in terms of how we want to stay relevant and stay in the competition over the couple of years. Because honestly, the hardware part of it, the solutioning part of it can be pretty standard and can be copied by many people in the business. And how we need to differentiate ourselves will be based on what we define for ourselves as strategy, what we are able to deliver as products, innovative products, and how we can engage with the customer in terms of, supporting his needs and business aims.
So that brings me to the question that, what kind of competencies do you think then the organization should focus on to harness this opportunity that you're talking of?
Let's take a short break. Rashmi sums up the opportunity as defining the strategy for delivering innovative products through engagement with customers in terms of supporting their needs and business aims. When we come back, we will discuss what Rashmi thinks organizations should do to harness the opportunity the oncoming changes will present.
You are listening to a Show How To audio original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences.
Welcome back. Before the break, I asked Rashmi what competencies organizations should focus on to harness the opportunities that will be presented through this massive change we are all undergoing. Let's listen in.
If I look at, I'll talk probably try to, put this in layers within the organization in terms of, the senior management or the middle management and the engineers. Okay. I see this as a challenge with the senior management. First of all, is that the resistance to change is always at the top most of the time. The resistance to break away from known territories, known ways of working, known processes, known products, stay within safe boundaries, because yes, natural, they have succeeded and they are here because what worked before, and that's why they are here. Now, if the senior management is not open to disruption or is not forethinking or is looking only for short gains, we are surely on the way to become defunct after a couple of years, because we would not have had time and investment we would not have put in enough time and investment in being relevant now, because when we are there, we are going to not know what we are. We would have suddenly find a lot more people, a lot more smaller organizations having the same products and at a cheaper cost. Yeah? So that is what
at the senior level.
At the senior level. So openness to change, being able to be change champions, agility and adaptability, learning adaptability at the top, surely would drive it all across the organization. Currently, a lot of people miss that. Because we believe that what succeeded 10 years ago is going to succeed for another 10 years. Not necessary. The speed of change in today's world is much more faster than what it was maybe 20 years ago. I mean, if you just look at where we grew as children, we used to talk about drinking bottled, paying for water. Today, we're already there. We used to talk about being able to see somebody across the world and speak to him. We're already there today. And it's within one generation. Not even the generation is not even over. It's not even half the generational age.
Yeah.
So that's the speed of innovation. That's the speed of change that is happening. And leaders need to be aware and should lead that change, really.
Right.
That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Middle level, if you're talking about people in the middle, mm-hmm. I think we need to have a lot of learning adaptability. Let's put it that way. Agility, yes, from a strategy perspective, that's needed. But learning adaptability and also the organizational's environment to enable that. Both ways needs to be there. So, for example, if there are skill sets that need to come in, and skill sets that need to change, cross-skilling.
Right.
For example, we have electronic engineers and we have mechanical engineers and we have electrical or software engineers. Most of the times and up till now, what has worked is that electronic guys do electronic work and computer guys do computer work or software work. Mechanical guys do the layouts.
Yeah.
That's how it generally works.
Yeah,
there will be, and we are going to a phase where there will be a need for one guy to do at least three things of this.
Yeah, so cross-discipline, and it's a very interesting point because it is either the same guy has to do it or the same guy has to work with people. In a collaborative environment where you can you're in a position to take inputs and see different points of views.
Yeah. I also believe that an engineer should be able to understand the language. You cannot not understand what a controls guy or a mechanical guy or software guy does. Mm-hmm. Many a times I see this resistance within my own group at times is, no, but I'm a control engineer and he needs to do the parts. Even for sales engineering, between sales and sales engineering, that always is the case where sales guys say that my job is to talk to the customer. My job is not to understand the layout. But of course it is, because you will be explaining the layout.
Right.
Yeah, and that is why we have engineers who are selling. So maybe we need to look at a different way of doing engineering itself. Maybe we need to really be integrated in our approach of doing engineering jobs if we're talking about engineering purely. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It cannot be restricted to, and yes, while collaboration is a key skill, also the understandability of other skills is important. You may not be a master, but you need to understand and you need to connect in terms of technical, know-how if the job is related to your job.
Yeah, so basically it'll again, if we stretch this discussion, we'll go back to education system, which we don't want to do today.
True. I was just going to go there. I think, the way we are taught in India, it's crazy.
No, anywhere else. See, the silo, we sort of came from this holistic thing, then we moved into silos to understand things deeper, and that becomes so siloed that the guys doing biology doesn't want to talk to physics, and physics doesn't want to talk to chemistry, and so on and so forth.
But that's the whole thing, right? Today we are going to have biotechnology happening, and that means we are going to integrate biology and technology or engineering together to do complex surgeries.
Absolutely.
So that's the kind of skill set we are talking about. If a doctor says, I do not understand how the machine works, or if the engineer says, I don't understand what the doctor needs to do if I have to build a machine for him, how is it going to work?
Yeah. And you can see it's already, it's not a question of debate anymore. I don't know whether you saw that Elon Musk backed company called Neuralink. They're already testing chips which can be implanted in the brain, which will help people with paralysis and stuff like that. And they're already at the level where the neurons and the microns that they have are of the same breadth. Right? So these are like happening at a lightning speed. We don't even know what's going on.
We don't know because you know, we very conveniently sit in our bubble thinking. We have people 3D printing organs today. So an organ creator will be a job profile in the next 20, 30 years.
Yes, yes.
There will be jobs which we cannot even imagine today, really. And the only thing that we can do and be prepared for is be open for that change, one. And also look for connectivity for actual life the way it is growing.
Right.
Today,
right.
Today we are struggling with natural resources and how we, you know, manage water or afforestation or deforestation. And those are the parts. But that could be a job profile over the period of time. With looking at the way we are growing our buildings, there will be somebody who will be responsible for creating greenery around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah? Yes.
So and that could be a job profile.
Yes. Yes. And lot of... I mean, I'm a big believer in technology. I think a lot of the issues that we are grappling with, energy, water, lot of these things will get resolved with technology advancements. We will really not, there'll be no world war on water. There'll be no, world war on resources. So those thought processes are really old and they will not be relevant. And lot of it, like the afforestation point you said, in fact, I wrote a column a few days back that there is a new study which has come out, which says that there are 4.9 billion hectares which we can replant with trees, but actually only 0.9 billion we can do. And if we do that,
that also helps solve the problem.
It will take away 2/3 of all the carbon emission from the beginning of industrialization.
Wow.
And it needs $300 billion, which is not a lot of money. If you think of the global scale, it will take 20 years. It will take 40 to 100 years to actually give the full value. But if you start now, I mean that 100 years has to start today, right? And it's doable. And it's today doable to the extent that technology can ensure that you can actually plant this 0.9 billion hectares with trees and also relevant trees in relevant soils, in relevant locations, relevant climate. It is not just planting trees.
There are countries who have proven this. You have Bhutan who has done that. You have, Singapore who is doing that currently and being in, being modern at the same time, being green. Yeah? So what we're saying here, what I'm trying to say here is, despite technology, and technology is a tool for betterment of human race. Yeah? Let's look at it from that perspective. And if we are able to use it smartly, I think we don't have a problem for future. We just have to be more creative. So creativity, if we were talking about the skill sets and competencies, creativity in addition to collaboration, people skills, decision making, critical problem solving is going to be a very big competency to have, because problems are not going to be the kinds that we have solved before. Till now, problems have had solutions and were able to be solved in a structured manner. Going in future, we will not have a structure to address if a machine or a robot that I have designed is going to misbehave. How are you going to address that? You really need to think of ways of doing it. Of course, there's going to be a program that you need to do, yes. But the problem is not only so simple that we'll solve through the program, because essentially, it wouldn't go wrong if the program was working right.
So that's the mindsets you're talking of. So essentially, yeah. Our key ingredient that we need to carry into the future is the mindset and one of agility, right?
Yes. Agility, adaptability, openness to change and the right mindset,
Right.
Those are the things that we need.
So if we move a bit, I mean, I think I know we need to sort of close it, but yeah. You did speak about the top management, you spoke about the middle level. What do you talk about the front? Is it anything beyond what we are discussing? That what kind of mindset do you think your frontline people, whether engineers or salespeople or service guys, what kind of mindset do you think they should have?
I think they just probably need to have more flexibility and curiosity as a mindset,
right?
At that level, because we bring them up and it's not only their responsibility. Of course, it's the responsibility of the environment, infrastructure, systems, governments, whatever, is to bring in more integrated learning and more implementable learning, which we don't do as we spoke before also.
Right.
So making sure that the skill sets that they are trained for are usable also.
TalentWise is brought to you by KnowledgeBridge. We produce customized and multilingual visual training content. we have worked on complex processes, products, and skills development for large blue-chip brands such as Tata Motors, Mahindra First Choice, Homelane, Epson, Toyota, Citibank, and Consul Neowatt, serving diverse industries. Talk to us for your next custom content requirement and be pleasantly surprised. Call us on 99021-631-32.
Wonderful. So Rashmi, I really enjoyed chatting, and I wish you all the best for your new move. And
thank you.
And maybe once you are settled into your new role, we will get your perspective again on how things are, where you would be, you know.
Sure.
That's great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate
Thank you.
Your taking time.
Thank you, Shubham. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for being with us today on TalentWise. We hope we helped you focus on some actionable ideas today. It was certainly enlightening for us. We hope to see you again on our next episode. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts from, and give us a rating while you're at it. Thank you in advance. This Show How To original podcast is produced for KnowledgeBridge, the multilingual visual training platform and custom training content creators by Show How To Audio. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time.